Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so glad that we are gathered together again, and I'm excited about the wonderful lesson that we have on today. So why don't you grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. I tell you, we have a wonderful, wonderful blessing in store for you on today. My lesson is going to be about something that the Lord laid in my heart even on this morning and began to just ministering to my heart. And so this is really just something that God gave me today for the radio land. And I know that you're going to be blessed without a shadow of a doubt. So I want you to grab your Bible, come on in, make yourself right at home, and go with me to the book of James, chapter number 5. And we're going to be talking about prayer on today. And I know that you're going to be blessed. So grab your Bible and come on in. And so we're going to be looking at James chapter number 5, verses number 13 down to verse number 17. And we're going to read on it on this line. And we'll probably go down to verse 18. Look this up. Is any man among you, let him pray. Afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any man of you do err from the truth, and one converted him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. So, Father, reading of the scripture on today, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come once again among your people to speak a word, to share principles that their life may be enhanced and blessed through and by biblical principles as we contextualize, Lord, for the relevancy of today for our lives. And Father, we thank you as we take and glean from that which you will have for us today. Let it be found on good ground. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us take a look at this wonderful gift that God has given unto us as the children of God, and that's the ability to pray. And I'm going to share with you some things that the Lord blessed in my heart on even on today as I was preparing for this lesson, and things, some wonderful things that the Lord has given. First of all, I want to say I am an avid person who love and enjoy praying and communicating unto God. I think the ones that he has called and given them a spirit of prayer and things have a wonderful place in the heart of God because they can talk to him, commune with him, and he will commune with them. And so let's take a look at this prayer. And this is what I want to share. Prayer is interacting with God via conversation. It's where one is conversing with their thoughts, their minds, emotion, and their spirit. as well as engaging both either verbally or non-verbally. And things as you're engaging and interacting with God, when we think in terms of prayer, I asked God one day, I said, God, well, when you look at prayer from your standpoint, what is in your mind? What is in your heart? And this is what God gave me. Prayer is vessels of clay given audible utterance and sound, which is called word, in different language to speak back God to God, his plan and his will for the individual life or the clay's life. Also to communicate with one another. I've given permission, he's also shared with me, he's given us permission to make addendums as well when we praying and giving our petitions, our requests and supplications unto the Lord. He's given us the ability to ask what we will. And so that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing that God, when he fashioned us and made us and given us consciousness and given us the ability to communicate, because God wanted to communicate with his creation. So first of all, I want you to think in terms that God wants to talk with you. He wants to commune with you, not only when there is an issue or a problem or circumstances that is going off or going awry or a trouble in your life, but just on a daily basis. God wants to commune with his creation. And so the other critical thing that we look at when we look at our life is that he's given every man a will. And so he's not going to violate that will or make you pray or communicate with him, but he has created mankind so that we are able to communicate with him. Now let's look at this. As I was sharing in things, as he was giving me even on today, is that prayer is that interacting with God. He wants to interact with us. He wants us to use our thoughts and our minds, our emotions, our spirits, and our feelings as we engage with him. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. And so in essence he said that, you know, he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And so here as our feelings, they even communicate or and converse with God. Even when we're not speaking, our feelings are communicating with God. Even when we can't pray and think or converse with him, we are in communion with him of how we're feeling. But he wants us to turn and come willingly and begin to share with him. Prayer is engaging with God or just talking with God, on an ongoing basis. Talking anywhere and anytime, and talking out loud or talking in one's heart and one's mind. In essence, prayer is without ceasing. And things 1 Thessalonians 5:1 say, pray without ceasing. So in essence, it's saying communicate without ceasing. Converse with me without ceasing. This is what God is wanting for us as children of God, to commune and converse with him. Now let us look further. 1 Samuel 12:23 said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. And so here the writer begins to share and point out that they're going to continue to pray for that individual, for one another. And so they're going to, even in their communion or conversing with God, they're not going to be just selfish thinking about themselves and communing just for themselves, but they're going to converse with God about others as well. And we do it many times when we know of people who are in trouble or we want just protection for our family. But also I believe that God will want us just to communicate even in a place of thanksgiving for what he's done for their life and what they're doing and where they keep getting ready to take them. So on that constant not ceasing to pray one for another. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept even in the prison. But the Bible said that prayer was made without ceasing on the church, of the church unto God for Peter. And so here, this is another circumstance and situation of that ongoing basis and things that the church, it kept praying for Peter because Peter was locked in jail. And God sent an angel and delivered him because the people was constantly conversing with God. Romans chapter 1, verse number 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And so here the writer is thinking and speaking in terms of, again, that he's going to always converse with God about them and holding them up in their spirit, the sons of the gospel and things that he was, that was in his spirit. Paul was constantly interceding and constantly praying on the behalf of those whom God had left him in charge with. And so it was without ceasing. And so here again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3 says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefather with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in prayer day and night. And so here again, as I said earlier, prayer is engaging with God, talking to God, talking on an ongoing basis, talking anywhere and any time, and things, whether out loud or within your heart or within your thoughts or mind and things, but in connection, in communion with God. Now, let's look further. Now, prayer is further is transmitting our feelings and words, thus in return receiving a word or respond back from God. And that respond is either a still small voice. It may be even in silence. It may be a song that you may hear on the radio, you may hear on television, or you may have it playing in your home and that is ministering back unto you, or he may have dropped the song in your heart and things. And then also, prayer is also another response from God, is a manifestation of his presence, as well as a confirmation and a revelation of his will unto us. And that's why it's critical for us as children of God that when we undertaking the things of God and doing the work of God, it's critical for us to be in prayer and talking to God, because in so doing, what will happen is that God himself will begin to confirm what he already placed in your heart and spirit, and then he will also revelate you and give you revelation unto the things that he was going to do in and through your life. Now, let's look here. I was saying prayer is transmitting our feelings and words. Romans 8 and verse 26 said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And so here he's talking about how the Spirit is going to help our infirmity in things. Again, that feeling, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but that Spirit of God is going to make intercession for us with groaning and which cannot be uttered. So that groaning sometime in your spirit, or that groaning in your spirit that you cannot even find words for, that is communicating unto God. Now, Hebrews 4 and 15 said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by or touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but what all point tempted like as we were, and yet he was without sin. Now, let's look further at this wonderful gift that God blessed us with, the ability to communicate with him and commerce with him. Prayer is the medium to articulate God's covenant, his promise, his provision in the atmosphere for one to hear. therefore increasing one's faith and confidence. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, Isaiah 43:26 says that for us to put him in remembrance of his word, and it reads on this light, it says, to put God in remembrance of his word, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. That's Isaiah 43:26. So in essence, when you are speaking the promises that God promised unto you, that's why we should know them. And then we are putting God in remembrance of what he promised. And so you can take that. That's a gift to you from God. So what you can begin to do is take that promise that God's given to you. He's saying, put me in remembrance. And you can begin to speak the word of what God promised. Let's take a look here at Deuteronomy 15:6. It said, For the Lord thy God bless thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. And so here he's saying that I promised you that you are going to be the lender, and you will not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, and they shall not reign over you. That coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 15:6. And he also promised with us that we were joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Now, until you claim that and put God back in remembrance of what he promised you and consciously say, Lord, I receive the promise and the blessings that you've given unto me, and I'm going to live in those promises and blessings and principle, then those things can be walked right past and not even engaged in, or you not be able to partake of the benefit from that because you didn't put them in remembrance. You didn't claim it. You didn't believe it. So it's critical for us as children of God is to believe what God has said and is saying about you and your family and your children and your children's children, and put God back in remembrance of what he promised to you. Oh, Sharabo Ramasha. I feel the power of God right there. And think. Now let's look at another aspect. Deuteronomy 19:7-9. The scripture clearly states, it said, wherefore I command thee, saying that thou shalt separate thee three cities for thee. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he has sworn unto thy father, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy father, if thou wilt keep his commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more to thee besides these three. And so God wants to add to his people. He promised to add to us and things. But we, as the children of God, we must continue to keep his commandment. We must love the Lord our God. We must forever walk in his ways. And he promised that he will. Amen. Now let's look at also Jehoshaphat over in 2 Chronicles 20:5-17. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, our God of our father, art thou God in heaven? Now here, this is what Jehoshaphat is doing. He was literally living out Isaiah 43 and verse number 26. He's putting God in remembrance of what he promised unto them because they were facing impending danger, but he was putting God in remembrance. He said, and rulest thou not over all the kingdom of heaven, of the heathen, and even in thy hand is there no power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Then he goes on to say, art not thou God who driveth out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and giveth it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, We stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then wilt thou hear and help? And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Syria, who thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And so this is Jehoshaphat talking to God, putting them back in remembrance. He's telling them. He goes on further to say, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that come up against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeriel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levi of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now, I just wanted to stop right here and point something out as we talked about when you're putting God back in remembrance of the covenant, the promise, the blessing that his word has declared in our lives. This is what Jehoshaphat did when he had the Ammonites, the Moabites, and Syria coming up against him. He put God back in remembrance. Him and all of the children of Israel, they stood before the Lord and began to converse with the Lord, commune with him, have a conversation with him, and he prayed. And in so doing, God sent someone and things. The Spirit of the Lord was upon one of the men of God that was in the midst of them. And this is what he told them. This was the answer to his communing with him. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they came up by the cliff of Zik, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Zerel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Oh, they got a word from the Lord because the king, Jehoshaphat, he stopped and got in tune with God and things and conversed with him and began to pray unto him. And that's critical for us as the children of God. When you find yourself in a battle, stop. Converse with God. Tell him. Put him back in remembrance of what he already promised us. Because Isaiah 43 and 6:26 said, put me in remembrance of my word and things. And so he reminded him. He promised. And he said, art thou not the God that we are, and will you not judge them? Now let's look further at another aspect about prayer. Prayer cultivates one's skills and ability. Now, just being in the presence of God, our creator and the giver of all gifts, it will reveal, it will empower, it will energize one's gift, the individual who's praying. Prayer will also aid in the transformation of one's mind by continual renewal because it is providing the strength that it needs to allow the word to germinate with inside of you that you have already ingested or received and things. And now prayer will cultivate and prayer becomes like the spiritual incubator to allow for the word to germinate in your spirit. Oh, my God, I love being in the presence of the Lord, Koda Bakashanda. Now, when you look at Romans chapter number 12, verses number 1 and 2, it said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And so here the psalmist is saying that I want you to come and present yourself and come to me, because when you come to me and things, I'm going to transform. I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to do some great things within you that you can understand my perfect will. Now, in Psalm 16 and 11, it said, thou shalt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasure forevermore, just being in his presence. Now, Psalms 35 and 27 said, let them shout for joy and be glad that thy favor, my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God wants you to prosper. He wants your gift to prosper. He wants your talent to multiply. He wants you to be prosperous in everything that you do. Now, Psalms 149 and 4 reads, it says, for the Lord take pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. God takes pleasure in you. Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Again, prayer is cultivates one's gifts and ability, being in the presence of the Creator and the giver of all gifts. He will empower you, energize, and reveal and revelate you, because you have been in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Come on and shout hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. One more I want to read in things about this here, being in the presence through prayer. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 11 said, wherefore we also pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the other aspect about prayer, prayer is also relational. It is both intimate and publicly, and you have an intimate relationship and a public relationship with the Lord our God. We know public means to expose to the general view. Everybody should know that you are a child of God, because they can see and know even that you have a prayer life and that you're in communion with God. You must cultivate a spirit of prayer, and this cultivation is involved intimacy. Intimacy, it means a state of being intimate or something that a person would do in private or a private nature. And let's look at the scripture in this regard as we move expeditiously forward. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 21 said, take heed that ye do your alms before men, not do your alms before men, but to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or in the street, that they may be have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And then he goes on to say, talking about the privacy and the publicly, and say, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of them. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And then he said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for the much speaking. But be ye not therefore like them, for your Father knoweth the things you have need of before ye ask. And then he said, after this manner, therefore ye pray. And you can go to Matthew to read the rest of that in regards to about how to pray. Now, let's look further at the spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer is living continually in conversation with God, daily residing and abiding in the presence of God, the state of being intimate, being open, and allowing God to be totally, and you, oneself being totally exposed in the presence of God. That entails one's entire essence and being, allowing your motive to be exposed to God, your intention to be exposed to God, your attitude to be exposed to God, your disposition and your failures and your shortcomings and weaknesses and even your strength. You're allowing your whole being to be exposed unto God. And that's critical, that when we live in the place, in the spirit of prayer, and even in the presence of God and things, we are open and transparent before the Lord our God. We're not like Adam, nor are we like Eve that had to get fig trees and things like that and cover ourselves, fig leaves, I should say, and cover ourselves. But no, we are open, wide open, pure hands, heart, and clean hands before the Lord our God. Is our testimony and our lot before the Lord our God. Now, when we look at intercessory prayer, this is one who goes deep into a hidden mysteries of God through his guidance to verbalize or feel the needs of others. It allows individuals to be transported to the future to see or to hear the needs that are on the horizon, or even into the past to know what has been or what has transpired. It will also cross ethnic barriers and social economic barriers and transcends to marginalization and disenfranchise and things into the lives of individuals from every walk of life. It includes the affluent. It includes all the cultural diversities. Amen, that when we intercede, we entering in the presence of God on behalf of others, amen, and we are articulating back to God what God has shown us or what God has told us, because guess what? He needs faith. He needs to hear, and we put him back in remembrance of what he already knows. He knows Joe is in the battle. He knows Sally may have been in a situation, but he want to know, do you have faith enough to come to the Creator, to tell the Creator what he already knows and ask the Creator to heal or deliver them? Amen. And we're using our tool of faith, of going back unto him, faith believing for a divine intervention from the Lord our God. Now, Ezekiel said, Ezekiel 22 and verse 30 said, "And I saw four men among them that should make up the head and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." He's talking about intercessors. He's talking about that one that will stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of his people. And so, Radio Land, I love prayer. I love this. Is something that I think is so beautiful, that God's given us the ability as human beings to be able to be in conversation with him, converse with him, share our deepest of hearts and thoughts, feelings, and we can put our ultimate trust in our sovereign God. And so I encourage you, if you're an intercessor, if you have the spirit of prayer, if you have the gift of prayer, a call to prayer, or love, just love conversing with God, continue every day walking and talking with him, inviting him in your circumstances and situation, and watch God begin to transform you and your mind and give you revelation unto what he's doing in and through your life. That's the type of God that we serve. He's a revelator. He's a mind fixer, and he's a burden bearer. And all we have to do is come and converse with him, even in the time when there is no trouble and things going on in your life. But we can still, he still wants to commune with his creation. And so, child of God, as I close on today, I want to encourage your heart. I want to share with you that this is the greatest thing that we could ever have, is the ability to come boldly to the throne room of God, the throne of grace, that we might receive help and grace in a time of need. And so let us go boldly to that throne and boldly into the things of God and watch God help, watch God divinely move on the behalf of his people. And so, children of God, Elijah, who was subject to light passion, he prayed earnestly that God, that it would not rain, and God held up the rain because of his prayer. You can hold up a whole lot of things because of your prayers. Amen. Let us continue to pray as never before and watch the mighty hand of God move expeditiously in this land and in the life of individuals that we so dearly love, and believe in God to do some great things, and even his keeping power to keep, strengthen, rest, rule, and abide henceforth forevermore in the lives of his people. And so today, in my closing, it has been such a blessing, and I pray that you've been inspired on today from the word that the Lord given me fresh this morning. And I pray that it has blessed you. I pray that it would stir your heart to continue to converse with God and talk with him. He has made it possible through his son, Jesus Christ, whom is God, manifested in the flesh, for us to be able to come back and commune and talk with him. And we have access. And I come to tell you, use your privilege of access to the Lord our God. And so until we meet again, I pray that you've been blessed on today. And as I always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door, or it shall be open unto you. It may not be a door, a window, or whatever you need open, it shall be open unto you. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Stay in continual communication and converse with the Lord our God. Until we meet again, tell somebody about home. Encourage them to come and be blessed with some midday soul food for their life. May God bless you. Until we meet again, bye-bye.